This is Pastor Ron Franklin at Covenant Community Church, and you're listening to Covenant Living Today. Hi, and welcome to today's edition of Covenant Living Today. Today on our broadcast, our message is The Power of Hope.
We've been talking about these last number of weeks now, the spiritual benefits of the Christian life. When we talk about spiritual benefits of the Christian life, we're not talking about those external benefits that come when God changes our circumstances. But as Christians, what we really are concerned about, more than God changing our circumstances, is what God wants to do in us. Because as we found out last week, God will use your circumstances to change you before he will change your circumstances. He will use your circumstances to change you before he will change your circumstances. Now, the context for this whole series on making it through hard times is Romans 8:37. We're going to go through hard times. What it tells us in Romans 8:37, even when we are going through hard times, look at what it says. Yet in all these things, what are we? More than conquerors through him who loved us. Praise God. You are going to go through some adverse circumstances. When Adam and Eve sinned, the Bible tells us that the whole of creation was corrupted in the moment of that sin. All of creation is not as God intended it to be. God made creation perfect. Things worked the way they were supposed to work. Guess what? Sin has corrupted it. And now we live in a corrupted universe. And because of that corruption, things don't work the way they're supposed to work. Have you ever made a sandwich? Say my favorite, jelly and peanut butter, right? And so you put the peanut butter on the bread. Maybe you put the jelly on top of the peanut butter. That's the way I do it. Amen. And then you go to reach for something and you knock that piece of bread with the peanut butter and the jelly off the counter. Ever had that happen to you? Now, ladies, you can kind of, back away from this because I know about Priscilla. As far as she's concerned, once it hits the floor, it's dirt. But men, what do we know?
By second rule.
If we get it in 5 seconds. No. If it lands bread side down, what do, man? Pick it up, dust it off, eat it. Isn't that right? Amen. But have you noticed this? Invariably, if that happens to you, which side of the bread's going to land down? The jelly and peanut butter side. Isn't that right? You know why that happens? Because creation is corrupted. Years ago now, I had another Honda. And I was pulled into the parking lot of a store and pulled up behind somebody who was parked in front of me. And as I was getting ready to get out of my car, I saw this older man get in his car right straight in front of me and turn it on. And you know, somehow you can tell what people are going to do. I could tell this man was going to come straight back. And that's exactly what he did. And you know, I hit the horn. I didn't have time to do anything else. I hit the horn. He didn't even blink. He just kept on coming and wham, went right into my car. And you know, I was hurt because, you know, it was a good looking car. Amen. But catch this. That happened because of the corruption of creation. See, God never intended for our bodies to get to a state where we lose our mental focus and we can't hear well enough to stop when somebody blows a horn and that kind of thing. All of that happened. What happened to my car happened because of the corruption of creation. Now, the bottom line on that is simply this. Things are going to happen in your life, not because God puts them on you, but because you live in a corrupt creation. Things will happen. Things will go wrong. We've got a number of people who are sick today. Some of them here, some of them not here. If you're a good Christian and you have enough faith, will you never get any challenge in your body from sickness? If you just have enough faith, can you be sure that you will never have to deal with something happening in your body? That's not what my Bible tells me. We are overcomers, amen?
Amen.
But being an overcomer doesn't mean that you will never have a challenge. It means when you have the challenge, what? You overcome. So understand, all of us, every one of us, Christian or non-Christian, are going to have circumstances in our lives that are adverse circumstances because we live in a corrupt creation. God won't put it on you, but he does not promise that you won't have to go through some adversity. Now catch it. That applies to you whether you're a Christian or whether you're not. You're going to go through some stuff. Amen?
Amen.
Now let me tell you the difference. Praise God. Look at Romans chapter 8, verses 24 and 25. For we were saved in this hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Let me tell you what the big difference between a Christian and a non-Christian is. When you go through hard times in your life, if you are a Christian, you have hope. Well, what is hope? You know, what the world says hope is I hope I get a raise. Amen? Any of you ever hoped for a raise? Any of you hoping right now? Amen? I hope I get a raise. What does that mean? Basically, I desire it. And it's possible that I might get it. But that's not what the Bible means by hope. That word hope in the Greek is elpis, E-L-P-I-S. And what it means is a favorable and confident and joyful expectation. A favorable and confident and joyful expectation. When the Bible says that we as Christians have hope, what it's telling us is that in any circumstance that we have to go through, good times or what we think are bad times, hard times or easy times, we can have a favorable and confident and joyful expectation of what's going to happen in our lives. Now, let me tell you why that's so important. Psalm chapter 1, verse 3. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. If you are a Christian, God has promised that he wants to prosper you in your life. But catch what he says, he will prosper. Not what you want. What did he say? Whatever he does will prosper. Whatever he does will prosper. What does that mean? If you don't do anything, you can't prosper. Amen? I mean, God didn't promise to prosper your wants and desires. He didn't even promise to prosper your needs. What did he say? I will prosper you in whatever you do. So if you don't do, why would you expect to prosper? Amen? Now catch this. God gave the Israelites a promise. You go into the promised land, it is yours. I have already given it to you. What happened to them? They sent spies into the land. They looked up. They saw the giants in the land. They came running back, said, we are like grasshoppers in their sight and in our own sight. You know what happened to them? They lost hope. Even though God had given them the land, they lost hope. And because they lost hope, they did not do what they needed to do. You see, that's what happens to us when we don't have hope. We don't do what we need to do. Think about this. You know I like football examples, amen? 2 minutes to go in the game. Our team is behind. The score is 7-6 and we've got the ball. How hard do you think we're going to play? We're going to play hard, amen? Why? We want to march down the field and score. Did anybody see the highlights of the Kentucky-LSU game? Anybody see that? On the last play, Kentucky had already poured the Gatorade on the coach. And on the last play of the game, this long Hail Mary pass, LSU scored and won the game. Were they playing hard? They were playing hard, amen? But what if it's 2 minutes to go, our team is behind, and the score is 70-6? What do you think is going to happen? Let me get this over with as quick as I can, amen? Why? Because you have lost hope. You have lost hope. You see, when you lose hope, when you lose the hope of winning, it affects what you do. And what is it that God will prosper? What you do. And so if you don't have hope, you won't do the things that you need to do in order for God to be able to prosper you. Look at Romans 12:12. Here's something that's much more important than football. Romans 12:12. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. That's a Christian, amen? Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. The doctor, when you go to the doctor, gives you a bad report. What you've got, they don't have an answer to. If you are a believer, what do you do? What does Romans 12:12 say? Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, but doing what? Continuing steadfastly in prayer. That doctor gives you a bad report. Where do you go? Down on your knees. Amen. How many of you know that God is not subject to the doctor's report? Amen. Amen? And so instead of just laying back and saying, I'm going to die because the doctor said I'm going to die, what do? God, I am coming to you on the basis of your word. You said you are the Lord who heals me. I stand on that word, hallelujah. You said that if we would pray the prayer of faith, then you would raise us up. I stand on that word, hallelujah. See, what? You've got hope. You've got hope. If you are not a believer and the doctors all get together and say you're going to die, what? You're going to die. You don't have any hope. But if you know you are in Jesus Christ, praise God. The hope never dims. Praise God. You see why it's so important that we walk in hope? You're going to face adverse circumstances. You're going to face challenges in life. And if you don't know how to face them in hope, you will not do the things that God can prosper and you will go down. No matter what kind of circumstance you're in, no matter how bad it seems, you can still have a favorable, confident, and joyful expectation of what God is going to do for you. Go over to Psalm 119, verse 114. It says in the definition of hope, a favorable, confident, and joyful expectation. You see, godly hope, biblical hope, is not just something that I wish would happen. I have an expectation that is going to happen. A confident expectation that is going to happen. Well, how can I have a confident expectation of what's going to happen? Well, look, Psalm 119, verse 114. You are my hiding place and my shield. I hope in what? Your word, the word of God. How many of you know that God has never lied? Anybody know that? Amen. When God makes a promise in his word, what? He keeps the promise, praise God. And therefore, when I put my hope based on his word, if God said it in his word, guess what? I can have a confident expectation. Hallelujah. things are kind of tight financially. But I read in the Word where he said, I never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread.
Right.
Guess what? I can have a confident hope in my God. Hallelujah. Now I want you to look at what that kind of hope will do for you. Romans 15:13 says this. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now just look at that for a moment. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. When we have hope, when we are walking in hope in the midst of hard times, what can we still have in our lives? Joy and the peace of God. Look at Nehemiah 8:10. Watch what joy will do. Nehemiah 8:10, the latter half of that verse says this, for the joy of the Lord is what? Is your strength. How many of you know that when you are going through hard times, you've got to be strong? If God is going to prosper you in what you do, you've got to be strong to stand in there and do what God is telling you to do so that he can prosper you. The devil will do everything in his power to discourage you from doing the things that you need to do. But if you have that hope that is based on the Word of God, then you have the joy and peace of God. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. You have the strength you need to do what you need to do. Look at Philippians 4:7. Philippians 4:7. We saw that the God of hope fills us with joy and peace in believing. We saw what joy will do for us. It becomes our strength in the midst of hard times. It keeps us strong. Look at what peace does. Philippians 4:7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The peace of God, which surpasses, you can't understand it, amen? It's beyond human understanding. It will guard your heart and guard your mind. Where does the devil attack you? In your mind. He is a deceiver. He is a liar. He will present lies to you. You can't make it. This is too much for you. You're going down. Everybody before you that had this went down. Like the people that come to visit you when you're sick and look at you and say, you know, my aunt had that and she died. We don't put them on the visitation team. Amen. No. The devil attacks us in our mind and he tries to make our heart cold toward God. But when we have the hope that's founded on his word, it brings us joy and peace. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. And when we have the peace of God, what does it do? It guards our heart and our mind so the devil can't overcome us. Isn't that great? You see how important it is to walk in hope when you're going through hard times in your life? Because that is what will keep you from being defeated by the devil. Hope, a favorable, confident, and joyful expectation of what God is going to do in your life. So, how do I put the power of hope to work in my life? Look at Romans 8:24 and 25 again. For we were saved in this hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Verse 24 says, we were saved in this hope. Well, what hope is it talking about? Look at verse 23. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly awaiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. That hope in which we are saved is the redemption of our body. Now we see, praise God, God is a healer. Amen? Amen. He is the God who heals us. But let me tell you something. If Jesus tarries, one day this body is going to die. Amen? Amen. If Jesus tarries, I mean, some of us may be here when he appears. Amen? And then what? Whew. Praise God. But if he tarries, This body's going to die. So catch it. Our hope is not in the health of this body.
That's right.
Amen. This body as it is right now is not eternal. Our hope is not in that. It says our hope is in the redemption of our body. Well, what's that talking about? Go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 52 and 53. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 52 and 53. What is our ultimate hope? Beyond anything that happens to us here on this earth, our ultimate hope, 1 Corinthians 15, 52, 53, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised, how? Incorruptible. And we shall be changed, for this corruptible must put on incorruption. And this mortal must put on immortality. This body, the way it is today, must die. Why? So that I can put on incorruption, immortality. Do you know that when this body goes back to the dust from which it came, you will receive a new body, praise God?
Amen.
And you'll receive a new body that will never die. Anybody have any aches and pains here today? Any aches and pains? Any? You know what? I've discovered something. If you just kind of look at your body, maybe this is not true for the kids, but since I've been an adult, this has been true for me. I can always find something going on. I mean, if I just stop and think about it and just think about my body, I mean, there's always something that I can focus on. Amen? A little ache here, a little pain there, a little itch. Always in the place I can't get to it. Amen? Catch it. One day, hallelujah, when this corruptible puts on incorruption, no more pains, no more itches, hallelujah, hallelujah, we will have a new incorruptible body. That's the first hope that we have. When we are totally redeemed, praise God, understand what the word is telling us is we need to begin to see our lives and our circumstances not from the perspective of what we're going through now, but from the perspective of eternity. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, or excuse me, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. 2 Corinthians 4:18. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. We got to stop looking at the temporary circumstances that we're going through and look at our circumstances, our situation, our whole life from the standpoint of eternity. Whatever happens to you right now, it's going to be all right.
Amen.
Because Jesus is coming back, and one day we're going to be with him. Amen?
Amen.
Look at Romans 8:24 again. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? God says we are to walk in hope. What does that mean? We can't see what the end is going to be. We can't see how it's going to work out. If we could see it, we wouldn't need to hope for it. Amen?
Amen?
Understand this. The normal Christian life is a life where with your physical eyes, you cannot see, you cannot even anticipate how God's going to work your situation out. It is unseen. And for that reason, that's why you need to get hope. So, or need to have hope. So don't get upset because you can't see how it's going to happen. Don't get upset. Have you ever said just to yourself, something like this, I can't see how this will possibly work out. Ever said that? Guess what? You can't see it, but God can. Amen? God already knows what he's going to do. He already has it in his plan, praise God. So what do you need to do? Instead of fretting and getting anxious and worried because you can't see it, hope in God. Just hope in God. He's already got it settled. He's already got it in place. Keep your hope on him. Here's the third thing. Look at verse 25 of Romans 8. But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. We eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Catch it. While we're going through hard times, that difficult situation, those adverse circumstances, our attitude should not be a hangdog, oh, woe is me. Oh, look at all that's happening to me. I don't know why God let me go through this. Oh, no, what does it say? We are eagerly looking forward to what God's going to do. We have an attitude of eager anticipation, praise God. You're going through something hard right now, you still ought to have a smile on your face. You're going through difficult times. People ought not to hear you MGCing. What is it? Moaning, groaning, and complaining, praise God. People don't need to be hearing that from you. What? They need to be hearing a positive, eager confession of what God has promised to do for you in His Word. Keep that attitude. Why? Because the devil is doing everything he can to discourage you. And if you let him discourage you, he will stop you from doing what you need to do so that God can prosper you in what you do. After all that, here's what you're going to have to do. Back to Romans 8, verse 25. If we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with patience or perseverance. You're going to have to be patient. You're going to have to persevere. What does it mean to persevere? You don't give up. You keep doing what you need to do. You keep doing what you're supposed to do, even though the situation is hard. Some of you are here today not feeling well, but you came to do what you needed to do. Amen? Amen. Some of you are going through some stuff at home with members of your family. But you came here today to do what you needed to do. Amen. Some of you may not be looking forward to going to work tomorrow because there's stuff going on the job. But you'll show up. Why? Because you're going to keep on doing what you need to do. You see, you're going to persevere even in the midst of difficult, trying circumstances, even in the midst of hard times. You are not going to allow the devil to discourage you so that you stop doing what you need to do so that God can prosper you in what you do. That's what hope is all about. And guess what? Because of your hope, you can go through with a joyful, favorable, confident expectation of what God is going to do in your circumstances. So don't get upset when you can't see your way clear. Hope that is seen is not hope. Stay eager. Keep that attitude, a positive, joyful one. Remember that you're going to have to wait on God. Amen. And then hang in there and persevere. Amen?
Amen.
Persevere. And the joy of the Lord will be your strength. And His peace will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.
This is Pastor Franklin. Thanks for listening to Covenant Living Today. This broadcast is an outreach of Covenant Community Church. We're a young congregation where the focus is on teaching the Word of God with clarity and integrity so that our members not only understand the Word, but know how to put it to work in their lives on a day-by-day basis. And because we're young, we have some great opportunities to serve. Perhaps you're looking for a church where you can both learn the Word and serve the Lord. If so, why not come and visit with us? Our worship services start at 10:30 every Sunday morning. Plus, we have Bible study every Wednesday evening from 7 to 8:30 p.m. Covenant Community Church is located at 1745 Derry Street in Harrisburg. And if you'll come to the corner of 18th and Derry or 18th and Berry Hill, you can't miss our building. For more information or directions, or for a CD of today's message, please give us a call at area code 717-232-5299. That's 232-5299. Or visit our website at covcomchurch.org. That's covcommchurch.org. This is Pastor Ron Franklin, inviting you to be listening for our next broadcast of Covenant Living Today.